Okay, today we're going to learn Siman Samach Zayin. We have left two simanim, Samach Zayin, Samach Ches. Samach Zayin is a relatively easy simon. We'll try to learn the whole simon in one sitting. The last thing we did last time was Dam Adam in Sif Yud. And I was rather quick with learning Dam Adam. I'd like just to point out to you, you do have on the page, on the bottom of the page, you had Avram de Gilyam Arshad, who have two positions that I mentioned at the end of the shiur. The question, when you have blood, on a cut on a finger, and it's clear that there's a cut, if there's an issa to be mitzit that dam and swallow it, because dam adam, we said it's also because of marasayin of dam behema. So the Shulchan Aruch said, therefore, if you're bleeding in your mouth, you're allowed. The question is, if you're bleeding, someone is bleeding on the finger, and they'd like to clean it using their mouth, whether that's something that's mutter. I don't know if it's health, if it's the way to get things clean or not. Probably not, right? But at any rate, as far as the halach is concerned, what's the din? So what? Say your lip, if a lip is bleeding. More common in the winter, especially that lips bleed. So it depends on the question, the answer to the following question. It says Dam Adam is mutter, even though they were goyzer marasayim. But if a person's mouth is bleeding, it's mutter. On that, the question is, whatever Chazal asked by marasayim is also afilu b'chedrei chadarim. What's the heter to have the dam if somebody's tooth is bleeding? What's the heter to swallow the dam? Somebody Chazal asked marasayin is also afilu b'chedrei chadarim. So there are two terutzim, and it depends on these two terutzim. What? To spit it out, yeah. So the Yad Avraham brings one teretz, which I mentioned. The Yad Avraham, the top line in our print of the Yad Avraham. It's cut off. Yeah. I'm sorry. But, okay. What he says is, Hamichasiaka b'shem b'arisheva hatam, to after chazilei nikr shabamei ha'adam v'lekha misham marasayim. It's a shame it's cut off, just one line. To after chazilei, even if someone sees it, someone sees someone's gums are bleeding, nikr shabamei ha'adam v'lekha misham marasayim. It's nikr that it's bleeding from his mouth, and there's no marasayim. So according to this Be'er Sheva, it would be mutter if your lips are bleeding. It's also nicker. If your finger has a cut, it's also nicker. But if the heter is, because it's nicker, what's the difference? There has to be nicker Shabba Me'adam. It's nicker Shabba Me'adam if it's nicker. So according to the Siyar Avram, the name of the Be'er Sheva, it's mutter. The Gilyam Arshah, however, on the third line, Maitzitzai, Dolecha de Chazilei, Rashi, Perakafalpi, Dafsamachamad Aleph, the Kasha, the Koldav Shasim Shomer Sain, the Philip Chadri Chadar Hamasr, Sefer Be'er Sheva, Vain Shar Melech, Perakay Melchisyantif, Olam Envav, Dibra Mas, Daf Aleph Amid Beis, Shehelam Adivari Taisvis Vishabis, Daf Samach Beis, the Daf Kashol Kol Sheb Bishuk Asa Mishomer Sayin Asa Filu Bechedri Chadar. He brings a different teretz that the only reason they asked Bechedri Chadarim is a gezera that you might think you're Bechedri Chadarim, but people are seeing you. So anything which even if people see you, they wouldn't notice it either. So then, even if people are peeking in, you think you're all alone. I mean, that people are looking at you, so you might think. So then, it's asur. That's why it's asur afilu b'chedrei chadarim. So if a gzeira, people might see you. But even if people are seeing you, they couldn't see it because it's in your mouth. So then, there's no din afilu b'chedrei chadarim asur. According to this teretz, which is the first teretz in the Be'er Sheva, they're both Be'er Shevas, just two teretz. According to this teretz, if it's bleeding outside on your lips or on your finger, it will be asur. So it's a nafkamina between the two teretz in the Be'er Sheva.
Why? What's the Marasai?
Is it different for the fish?
Why is it different than fish if you put kaskasim? Okay, that was the, we mentioned that last week. That seems to be a raya to the Yad Avraham's terrors. So the Be'er Sheva brings both terutzim. Typically, if a pesach brings both terutzim, each teretz is a good teretz by itself. They don't contradict each other, just nafkaminis between them. So it would seem that there's Amal Isma. Certainly the Yad Avraham brings it. He brings a raya to it. That it seems that there's what to be makel. That there's a Sheva this Drabanan, or Sayim Shukulidikis Drabanan. It certainly seems that there's that Lamaisa a person could be makel.
What if you're eating an apple and sometimes the blood from your gum gets onto the apple?
So that was the Ferish in the Shulchan Aruch. If Yatzah Damashina Vagabi Kikar, if it went from your mouth onto the bread or apple, Tzarch Lagardai, then you have to remove it. Once it goes onto food, then a person has to clean it.
Okay. If you're not aware of it, you swallow it. If you're aware of it, you have to take care of it.
If you're not aware of it, there's certainly no problem. But even if you're aware of it, if it's in your mouth, you can swallow it. Kama Devar Masur Mishum Dam. We have another simon, Devar Masur Mishum Dam, Devar Masur Mishum Dam. Now he talks about Dam Behema. Which Dam Behema is awesome? I'm sorry, Shaul. Marasayim is typically other people. It starts off rather simple. B'dam behema v'chaya nami ein isakaris. Ela b'dam hanefesh. First of all, what's shver in those first three words? Anything shver in the first three words? What? Oh, we're going to talk about that. But the first three words? It's missing. What shver is, what's missing? A lot of times you look for what shver and you don't see what's missing. The Prima Gadim says, the Prima Gadim says he doesn't understand why he mentioned oif. Dinei dam behema chai is the same as dinei oif. And he doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch was mashmit here, the din of oif. Da ha torva mechaber kosu dam chai behema, hishmit to oif. Ubemis dam oif, koros amalkas kamei behema. Shavrisa Knesagadaila Tom of Zeth. It's a little strange that it leaves out Dam Oif, I don't know why. But at any rate, he says there's no Issacharis, Ella Bedam Hanefesh Shanashama Yaitzabai. So here's something that people are not so familiar with. You have it sometimes in the Gemara. There's something called Dam Hanefesh and something called Dam Tamsis. So I guess so let me just be magdim. It says in the Torah, five lavim on eating charis. There are five on eating dam. There are five lavim in the Torah on eating dam. In three of them it says v'nichrasa, and two of them it does not say v'nichrasa. And Chazal, the Gemara, Darshan, why does it say five times and three times yeah nichrasa and two times that? So Chazal say that the three times that it says karis, one is for cholin, one is for kachim, and one is for dam kisui. It says in the kisui adam that you might think once you do kisui adam, the dam is mukshir, and you're allowed to eat it. So it says no. Even dam kisui, it is karis. So it doesn't really say which type of blood. It just says chulin kachim, and even if you do kisui adam, that's karis. Which dam is only alav? So the Gemara says two things. Dam evarim shepirish memakim lemakim, which we're going to discuss soon, which is the most negaya of everything we're going to learn today, is a black and blue mark. Sometimes you have a piece of chicken, I've never noticed it in meat, but in chicken you have a black and blue mark, a place where there's blood collected in a piece of chicken. That's called dam shepirish memakim lemakim, dam that was nitzrar, that moved around in the behema. That's one type of dam. And then the Gemara says there's something called dam tamtzis. Now, what is dam tamtzis? So Rashi and Tosfos and Shas usually teach the following: that when you shecht an animal, there's dam shoyseis, there's blood, medam kalayach, there's blood which flows. When you shecht an animal, blood spritzes out, a tremendous flow of blood. That's called dam hanefesh. That's the ki hadam hu hanefesh v'dichrusa. The Issacharis is going on something that's dam hanefesh. However, by dam tansis, by blood which is shayseis, which drips afterwards, Rashi and Taisa say that that is only a lav, it's not karis. So it's a difference between dam nefesh and dam tamsis, the blood which spritzes out and the blood which drips out. Now, there's really no difference halacha lemaisa. Thank you very much. There's really no difference halacha lemaisa between dam tamsis and dam hanefesh, because both of them are also, we don't make a difference, something that's a lav and something that's a lav sheish bekaris. In theory, it would be an afkamina if you have a chayla, who a chayla sheish besakado, who has to have dam. So you would give him the kula dikadam first, which would be dam tamtis and not dam hanefesh. So it's only a theoretical difference, and it's theoretical, it's lamais in such a case, but I don't think such a case ever came up in the last 100 years. I don't know if it ever, you know, will come up. I shouldn't say if it ever came up. I know it's a tshuva in the Sri Deish about Chayla Sheish Besakara needed dam. So I guess it does. It at least did come up. But what? Right.
Right.
Oh, so he's saying that there's a scientific difference. The dam that spritzes is more pure blood, and the other is not. Okay, now I should mention that the Rambam holds that any dam shechita is dam nefesh. The Rambam shechita is that if you're killing the animal, all the blood that comes out is called dam nefesh. It's karis. Okay, dam nefesh. The chiluk between shaisis and mekaleach, the Rambam holds only by dam hakaza, by blood that's being removed, not to kill the animal. So there, the Rambam says there's a chiluk between the dam hamekaleach and the dam that shaisis. But in Gemara, when you have it all the time, it's always Rashi and Taisus Taich, Dam Kaleach, Dam which flows, and Dam Shais.
But by Dam Akaza, Rambam would hold this,
there was Karis? This Karis, everybody holds. Dam Akaza that flows, there's Karis. And Dam that drips is Lav. Yeah, but
by Shrita, he holds everything.
By Shrita, he holds everything is Nefesh.
I just mentioned this. This whole is of Dam, talking about Achila. No, it's transfusion. There's no shayla, right?
It's blood from a human being.
Yeah, it's a transfusion. It's no.
Well, dam adam is mutim benatayr. It's asals marasai.
Yeah,
no, you mean about having hanah from it?
Yeah.
Well, hanah the taka when they bring that the dam adam is mutim bahanah. They bring that it's benatayr is mutim bachila. So certainly mutim bahanah, even though it's kolayetz benatami tame. But for whatever reason, it's clear that dam adam there's no isadari aisa.
Well,
when it's alive, you mean the dam that comes out when it's alive. Yeah, why is it that dam behema when it comes out is also and dam adam is not? I guess because the Torah asks it. The parish in the Torah asks is dam is talking about behemoths, and I guess that's why.
So it's just a
cup. What?
It's just a
cup. The Torah gives a reason, ki adamu and nefesh, but then it should apply to adam also. So you're right.
I don't know.
So, what?
I think normal people eat it, don't
never eat dam.
But
okay, so it's hard to give that type of reason for the deraisa, but
maybe what's the sikh is that shia is a transfusion like sikh.
It's not sikha.
But I mean, is it like shia also?
You mean that by sikha it says kishemem batzmoisai, that it goes into the body. We can't dash a mishle that way.
But then they go a transfusion on your
kidney. Lamais anyway, a transfusion is mutter.
Intravenous.
Yeah, that's not the intravenous. It's all about having enough from dam. Anyway, dam is not achila. Transfusion is not achila, and dam is mutter. So with this abdama, let's learn sif aleph and beis, which are relatively simple. But dam behema v'chaya nami ein isakaris elo b'dam nefesh and neshama yaitzavai. Karis is only by dam hanefesh. Aval dam heivarim, ein ella b'lois asay. But dam that's in the limbs is only a lav. But hani milik shapirish min ha'eva v'yachal achutz. That's if it's pirish and it moved in the body. Oishen nitzrar b'chaticha. Or nitzrar is basically a black and blue mark. It means it's collected in a piece. We're going to have to learn later in the simin what to do, tack if you find a black and blue mark in a piece of meat. But at first he's setting up the rules. that if it's nitzrar bichaticha, then it's an isalav. Aisha pirshma v'kaimai v'nisayra latzeis. Or it started to go out, v'nivla b'mokim acher. And it was nivla, let's say you're salting meat in a cliche in a minuk. If you're salting meat and the blood has no place to run out, it collects in the bottom of the keli. So then, if you take out the meat, even if you rinse it off, the blood that's in there is asim in atayra, because through the malicha was pirish, it started to move mamakim mamakim, but it didn't have a place to run out. So that dam is called pirish makayim in the sayra latis in the makim acher. Avalamloi pirish, v'loi nitzrar mutter. But if it's not pirish, not nitzrar, the blood is in the original place where it was b'shar shchita, mutter, then there's no issur on the dam. So three types of blood. There's the dam hanefesh, which is isakaris. The dam evarim shepirish makam lamakim, or black and blue mark, which is isalav. And there's blood that never moved anywhere, that's just the way it was b'shar shchita, and that is an isser, no isser at all. That's mutlach et chilam.
We say that blood in the cliche and manuka doesn't go out, or it goes back and it comes in and it goes back in.
We say it's pirish makam lamakim, and it doesn't have a makim latzes. It doesn't go back in unless it's kavush the shekvisha. But we're afraid that if the lashon is that's pirish makam lamakim in the basar, it doesn't have a makim latzes.
So is there a reason why the lashon is dam hanefesh and neshama that yotzevay?
Dam hanefesh shah neshama yotzevay. Maybe a reason that I don't know. The word neshama is very often used as a general term. Usually neshama is not used for a behema. Say an animal is nefesh habehemi. Neshama, I think, is just a way of the Shulchan Aruch describing it. The tinas neshama is used for an animal. Because neshama is a general term. When we talk about splitting it up, we say there's nefesh rach neshama. But so that, when you find the bottom of the package of the meat, it's a reddish brownish sear. We have a Kabbalah that once it sits shir malicha in a proper salting, anything that goes out afterwards, the Gemara says it's tzir ba'alma. Even though it appears to be blood, and I suspect that if you put it under a microscope, you would find the blood components in it. But that is not, that doesn't have a din dam. Once you do it kashir malicha, shir malicha doesn't have to be, our minig is to do malicha for an hour. We leave it in the salt for 60 minutes. But even if you only leave it in the salt for 18 minutes, it's also kashir, as long as it's rinsed off afterwards. And therefore, you find the liquid on the bottom of a keli. It's not something. It's not something that's awesome.
The last thing. Where is it sitting on
half plate? It's in the meat. You take a piece of meat. You salt it. When you salt it, it's pale. Then in the meat, the blood goes out. Now, not all the blood is on the surface. Some of the blood is deep inside. To get out, it's got to move. So the blood, the tab of salt is to draw blood. Now if it draws it, but when it's ready to go out, it's sitting in a pool of blood, it can't get out. So that's pirish b'makim l'makim. It moved in the body from one spot to another. That's called pirish b'makim l'makim. And the sayra latzeis, it got a sayrus to go out, but it never went out. Light pirish b'light nitzra muta. That means you take a regular piece of raw meat. If you want to see it, you cut it with a knife. You'll see. You'll get drips of blood. But Kozma, you don't cut it with a knife. It's nivla and it's good.
Dumb choices. Okay. Does that mention the phrase that we have?
So what's shver about this sif? This sif is a very simple sif, except three things that are missing. There are three things that should say that don't say. One is it doesn't mention oif, as I mentioned earlier. Very strange. Secondly, it doesn't mention damtansis. The Gemara talks about dam tamsis, right? We said there are three that are karis and two that are lav. What are the two that are lav? Pirish makam lamakim, which it says, and dam tamsis, the dripping blood. And for some reason, the Mechaber leaves out the dam tamsis. Maybe because the Mechaber holds like the Rambam, and in the Shita he holds there is no dam tamsis, only in Akaza. And since the seder of this book is Shchita, dam, treifes, licha, it's going through a case of shchita. Maybe that's why he left it out. I don't know. Lamaisi, he left out dam tansis. There's a third thing that the Mechaba left out, which I don't know why. The whole purpose of this sif is to tell us one is karis and one is alav, is if you have a chayla that has to have blood. If somebody will come to me and tell me they have a chayla who has to have blood for a refuah, I would tell them the first thing, what would you tell them? Cook the blood. Dam shebishlei is a drabanan. So, I mean, unless it's a rush and the chayla can't wait, but cook the blood. Just put it in a pot and bring it to a boil and cook the blood. Dam shebishlei is a drabanan. Because we learn out of the mizbeach, dam shebishlei is not kosher lalis, I got me a mizbeach. So dam shebishlei is a drabanan. So why do you take going through an arichas and telling me this dam is koris, this is a lab, I should know how to give a chayla? Why don't you tell me dam shebishlei is a drabanan? Why doesn't the mechaber tell me? I don't know. You worried about bishul akum on the dam? Shabbos, you can't cook it. Okay, he's talking about Shabbos. Transfusions are mutter. You don't need a mechaber. A person. The mechaber tells us. This blood is karis and this blood is alav. Who cares? Bizman hazeh. Mechaber doesn't tell us karis and lav. Teretz is the mechaber is telling us that we should know for kal. If you have a fellow who needs to drink blood, you should know which one to give him. That's the only nafkamina. So I'm telling you, if that's the nafkamina, assume that that's the nafkamina. Why doesn't he tell me dam shebishlei? It's easy to rabbanu.
No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work for the refuah. Maybe it doesn't work for the refuah. What? If not, what type of kapar? But the mechaber doesn't bring generally the things what einish they are. But in the veil, he doesn't say anywhere. The veil is not kar, it's only a lot. It doesn't say because there's no nafkamina. So I don't know.
Is dam shebishlei even to just cook the meat?
I assume so. It's easy if you want to, but it's rare. You mean?
Yeah,
it would be pretty rare.
Very rare. You might.
All right. So anyway, that's the Aleph. Simple enough. Sif Beis, also a relatively simple sif. Lefikach murta lechol basar chai. Therefore, if you have a taiva to eat raw meat, so it's not true what every Jewish yidna knows, that you not eat raw meat without salting it. Not true. Parash Shulchan Aruch. Lefikach muta lecho basa chai bahadocha b'lay malicha. You're allowed to eat raw meat, just rinse it off, because as I said earlier, when you cut it, the cutting brings down ba'en to the surface. Muta lecho basa chai bahadocha b'lay malicha. Hadocha, you have to rinse off the blood that's on the surface. That's dam be'en. So that you rinse off, b'loy malicha, without salting it. Uvavad she'lo yehebay me'achutim she'dam bohem, the veins that we said by Nikor, you have to remove certain veins that have a lot of blood. She'dam she'bechutim u'kukonis v'yme b'kli. Because the dam in the chutei dam, like we said, in the tongue and the lechi and the raglaim that need, and the neck, that have to be removed. So those have to be removed. But aside from the nikor, a person wants to take a steak, which has no issue of nikor or dam. So then you're allowed to eat a piece of raw steak, and there is no issue, because basachai is mutter b'loy malicha, not like everyone says. And l'chayr, it's a beferish of Mishnah in Yuma. What does it say in Yuma? It says that if Yom Kippur came out on Friday, so what did they do with the meat of the chatos of Yom Kippur? They brought a carbon on Yom Kippur, so they would eat it the next night. And Yom Kippur, you can't eat it. But basar chatos is nechol yom v'layla. So they would eat a matzah Yom Kippur, the kohenim would eat the meat. But bizman beis hamigdash, Yom Kippur could come out on Friday. And then it would be Shabbos. You can't cook the meat, because you can't cook on Yom Kippur. You know, I cook on Shabbos. So what are you going to do with the basar chatos? It's going to be nicer. So the Mishnah says, "Habav loyim shadaitan yofe kaisis anayse chai," that they would get some people that were daitan yofe. It sounds like they're very what connoisseurs. It means more that they're not mafunakim. It's more like they're cannibals. Yeah, they're like people who eat sushi. Those type of people that they could eat the raw stuff, and they would eat it raw. Kaisis anayse chai. They would eat it raw. So you see from there that raw meat, Pashtas, see from there raw meat is mutter, because they would eat raw meat. There's a Gaisha dish today, steak tartare, which is also raw meat, and what?
Not just Gaisha.
Jews eat steak taco? Oh, really?
It doesn't mean it's not Goyish.
I don't know.
And does Basar often need Hadakha too?
Yeah, Basar often needs the same Hadakha. So,
is it chewing a problem?
Good. So let me be Magdim. There's a Shvera Shitas HaRambam, which a Mechaber even ignores. He always goes Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam Shita in Hilchis Macholos Asurais, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam says, Bas Lachai Boi Malicha Yafe Yafe. He says that Bas Lachai has to be salted. It's very hard to understand because there's Gemara, it's not just the Mishnah and Yuma, but the Gemara, the Gra brings. What?
We're all somewhat. That's how we were all raised.
That Basachai
requires
Malicha. All right, so maybe we're raised like the Rambam. Yeah. The Rambam says that raw meat needs to be salted. And it's such a Peladic Ashita and says to the Gemara that the Mechaber doesn't even bring it. The Mechaber always goes into Rambam and says, Mutalecho Basachai, that you're allowed to eat it. It's considered a Pleiadic Ashita. So to answer the Rambam, there are a number of Achrayinim. I saw in the Darkei Tshuva, I saw in the Tshuva in the Sri Deyesh on this Inyan. They bring a Chavis Das and Simon Samach Tess of Katan Gimel. The Chavis Das talks about the following. The halacha is that raw meat, before you salt raw meat, you have to wash it. You need Hadacha. As you know, we, Lechatchila, the proper way to do it is we soak it. And not only we soak, we soak it for 30 minutes. Before meat is salted, it gets 30 minutes in a bath, in a soaking, in a basin, and then 60 minutes in a in salt, right? They have this machine in Empire. It's a gigantic vat, big like a gigantic above-ground swimming pool. Has in it what is sort of a corkscrew, which turns. The bath is rounded, and it has a corkscrew that turns, and the chickens fall in one end, and it's timed. The corkscrew pushes the chickens, right, as it turns, pushes it to the other end, and it's timed that 30 minutes later it comes out on the other end, all soaked and clean. Why do you have to salt, why do you have to rinse or wash meat before Malicha? There are three reasons in the Rishayinim, and one of the reasons, the one we're going to discuss, is this idea that the blood that's on the surface has to be washed off. That's dam be'en. Blood that's on the surface is dam be'en and has to be washed off. There are other reasons to soften it so that it should be mavliya.
For the first
but
reason, you wouldn't need a 30-minute.
You wouldn't need 30 minutes. You just have to rinse it off. Nafkamina is if you soak it 30 minutes and then you cut it. So it says in the Mechaber, right, Sifala for Simus Amachtes, that if you cut it. It's soaked already, but if you cut it, the cutting itself brings out dam be'en, and you have to wash it again because the dam comes to the surface. So the Chavis Das talks about if nashchai shunra, if a cat bit into the piece of chicken, it's raw chicken. So we say that if you cut it with a knife, it brings dam be'en. And Mimela, you have to do it again. So the Chavis Das says, Kosrach Reinim, why if you cut it, do you have to wash it again? The Teva Hadam Limshach Achar Asakin. It's the nature of the blood to go out when you cut it. Duka de Sakina. Avom Achal Shunra Chaticha. But if a cat bit into a piece of meat, he says, I'll prove it to you that if a cat bites it, you don't have to wash it. And you probably should wash it anyway, but you don't have to wash it out before you salt it. We just learned here, you're allowed to eat raw meat. Every time you chew a piece of meat, it was saying raw meat you're allowed to eat. Every time you chew a piece of meat, the dam comes out. You think it means you're only allowed to swallow? You cut it into bite-sized pieces, rinse it off, and swallow it whole? It's a daichik to say that. And the Mela, he says, it must be that through teeth, it doesn't cause the dam to come to the surface. So, that's the chiddush of the Chabad Das. Chabad Das is not going on the Rambam sheet. It seems to us to be something of a daichik, that the knife does take out the dam be'en, and teeth does not. So to answer the Rambam, who says that you're not allowed to eat raw meat, even though the Gemara is mashma that raw meat you're allowed to eat without salting. So they want to answer that the Rambam is maida, that raw meat is no isadam. It's just that since in order to eat it, you have to chew it, so you're going to have this problem. Every time you chew it, you're going to have to wash it off, so you can't really eat it in practical terms. And Rambam never says, osa lechol basachai. Don't just basachai, boy malichi, yafa yafa. He says, raw meat, you have to salt well. He doesn't bring a heter like the Shulchan Aruch does, muta lechol basachai. Because the Rambam holds that when you're going to chew the basachai, every time you bite into it, you're going to cause the blood to come to the surface. So this is the teretz that they want to say. Yeah. Mishnayos in Yuma. So it answers the Gemara's in Chulin. The Lechera does not answer the Mishnah in Yuma. But we'll see in a minute a teretz on the Mishnah in Yuma. Like the Rambam. But Akaponim, this is, I think, in theory, yeah, there could be that they could buy it into a bite-sized piece and eat it. What if Kaisis in there? Doesn't Kaisis need to chew? Kaisis needs to chew raw. So if Kaisis...
So it's not sure you have to buy it. It's the mitzvah that you can't just swallow.
Oh, that's the kederach achila. He means he really can't swallow it whole. It's true. It would help. It should be nice in the stomach. But okay. All right, Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel. Hashayver mafrakta shel behema osalechol mebisara chai elim kemocha yafe. When a shaychit shechts, he does not cut or break the spinal cord, the neck bone of the animal. And he dafka doesn't. The neck bone connects the spinal cord to the brain. Somebody who does, well, first of all, he's going to ruin his knife, but that's a separate issue. I have to fix his knife. But it's a sheikhid who breaks the mafrakta shel behema, osa lechol bepsara chai elim kemocha yafe. So the only penalty is that it doesn't, the blood doesn't come out well, and you can't eat the raw meat, you cannot permit it. So he says that the only downside to doing it is that the heter of basachai doesn't apply. And this, why? What's wrong with kill? I think the quicker you kill the animal, the better it is. So the Shach and Taz both bring, look in the Shach Gimel, also lechem b'sarachai, v'shahadam is oirer lotzeis b'shashchita, the blood gets a chiyus to go out when you shecht it, u'kishashava mafrakta eini achayla lezanek, and when you break this neck bone, it can't, how would you type lezanek, it can't sigh, it can't give this this last kayach, this last heave, v'chayzev enivla be'ivareha, and the blood stays in the body. Now, I described this to you already many times. If you ever go to a shechita, and you should really go see shechita once in a while, if you ever see a shechita, you'll see that at the moment of the shechita, there's not a tremendous gushing of blood. 2-3 seconds later, in the case of the chicken shechita, the chicken is usually already hanging by its feet on the assembly line, and there's a tremendous flow of blood. Now, scientifically, the reason this happens is because the animal, when you don't break the mefarekes, there's a connection still, the brain is still connected to the heart. The spinal cord connects the brain to all of the nerves of the body. What happens when the shechita takes place is after the shechita, the animal is no longer able to breathe, it doesn't oxygenate its blood, and the heart is still beating. The heart pumps blood to the brain that doesn't have the proper amount of oxygen. So the brain, which now needs more oxygen, sends a message to the heart to pump faster. Very much like when a person runs. The brain tells the heart, we need more oxygen, so pump faster. So the brain is not so smart. It doesn't know it's dead. It thinks it's still alive. And it's still connected to the heart. So it tells the heart to pump faster. And that causes this gush of blood, because now the heart is pumping. The heart can't pump faster only to the brain. it just pumps faster to the whole body. And the mela, the severed blood veins, arteries, come with a tremendous gush of blood. Now, if you're going to cut the mefarekes, if you're going to break the mefarekes, then that doesn't happen. There's no connection from the brain to the heart anymore, and the message doesn't get to the heart, and there is no tremendous flow, and mamela, there's more blood in the body, and mamela, it's a redder blood, it's a redder meat, and it's going to be more full of blood. So at any rate, that is the only downside of breaking the mefarekes. The Ramah says the following. Before we start, I'll tell you the Taz suggests that the first line and a half of this Ramah belongs in Siv Dalet. It does not belong here. Let's read it as it is. V'nagu lahachmir l'chaychay ulamaylchay aflitzli. The minig is to cut up and salt meat even when you roast it. Let's say before the animal dies, right after they shecht it, somebody cuts a piece of meat off its leg. So kaidim shetetei nafsha, the minig is to salt. Now the truth is that that's a difference between the mechaber and the Rama always. When you listen to Samach Tes, the shita of the mechaber, the svardim, any chicken, you could just roast it. You don't have to put any salt on it. Our minig, the minig Rama, is always to put some salt on meat or chicken when you roast it. It's not ma'akiv, but always to put some salt on to help with the coming out of the blood. So, if this is the right place where the Ramah brings, he's just telling us, Agav, Mechaba said, Sli is mutai de malicha. He's not talking dafka about the mefarekes, but he's telling us that it's okay.
What does malicha yafka mean here?
A good salting. What?
When the Machaber says it's mutter, it normally would be aser if you sever the spine.
Normally, basachai is mutter. Raw meat, you don't need any malicha at all.
Right. In Siv Gimel.
Right, so in Siv Gimel, he's saying it's an exception to what I said in Siv Beis. Siv Beis, I said that raw meat is mutter lechol basachai, b'li malicha. He's saying, Hashem mefarekta, that's an exception. Then it's also lechol basachai, elim kai malcha yafa. You have to do a full salting. And otherwise, you're not allowed to eat.
A full salting includes how much do you have?
A normal salting, that the way we normally salt meat to cook. Right, the way it's normally salted. Hadacha, certainly. Hadacha, you need even by basachai. So I'll repeat to you a klal that I had once mentioned in the Navi Shir. It's an important yediyah. And I'm surprised people don't know it. And among other places, it's a Taisus and Ksubas Gimel on the days. And the Ramah says that it's not only a klal in Shulchan Aruch and Shas, there's a klal in the Ramah. Ramah himself writes that there's a code for the Lashon Ramah. Sometimes he says v'nagu, and sometimes he says noyagin. And the Ramah writes that whenever I write noagu, it's not something that I would really say you have to do. But since the Velt does it, so noagu, so stick with the minig. When he says noyagin, he means it's something you're obligated to do. And he explains that it's in a tshuva, and the tshuva he writes it by a laning from a chumish, not from a cloth. So he says, no, agu, they're not makbet to lain from a cloth. So someone wrote him a letter, how could you say a minig, to lain not from a cloth? So he writes, you should know, whenever I say no, agu, I don't mean that I want it to be that way. I mean, people do it, so leave them alone. They could do it this way. It doesn't mean that I obligate it to be done this way. One of the most interesting places this applies is the Sefer HaMakna writes in Hilchis Kiddushin. This, when I was a chassan, I asked Rav Palm about getting married b'seif HaChaydish. He was scheduling a chasna date. So I said, you know, the Ramah says not to get married b'seif HaChaydish. So Rav Palm told me, you don't have to worry about it. The Ramah only means that if people are makbid not to get married b'seif HaChaydish, you might think it's aser, it's kishuf. So Ramah says there's no issa kishuf. That's all he means. But you can get b'seif HaChaydish, what's the difference? The moon is big, the moon is small, no difference. That's what Rapam told me. It sounded like a very litvish pshat. The chassidus don't hold this way. And then, to my shock, I saw that the Sefer HaMakneh writes this. He is medayik that that the Shulchan Aruch Hinksim and Samach Dalas Hamachay, when the Ramah brings this, says Noagu Shaloi Lisadash B'Seif Chayidish. So Ramakta writes Noagu. Noagu means that they're naive that way, so you don't have to stop them. But not that there's really any kapeda on getting married to Seif HaChadish. That's what the Hamakna was. The Hamakna was the Balafla, was Chassidish. He was a chassid who was the Rav of Frankfurt, so go figure it out. But they say that when he signed his contract, one of the conditions was all Chassidus, he had to practice the tzinna. Although it seems almost all Chassidus is Bahasia things, but that's what they made up with him. But he writes this, Mamish or Pam Tomi, he writes it, and he says that's Nagu, the Milano Gadol from the Ramah, he says what he meant. And it's a Gemara in Tainis Daf Zayin, that Nagu means that Eimaychen. And Taisik Subis on Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara is Hosam Nagu Hocha Mutter. What's the Kasha? One place says Nagu, one place says Mutter. So Taisik says, because Nagu means, did he have it? Nagu, don't stop them. Mutter means Mutter Lachat Chilah. Anyway, it could be both ways. All right, back to the Ramah. Yeshayim. What? No, the Makna is on Kedushin, but in the back of it, he has Hilchis Kedushin. The Kutchus Akron Sefer Makna, and on that Ramah, which is Simon Samadal Samachay, on the Ramah, he writes this Ged. I assume that's why the Chassidim are really very makel. Because some chassidim who are makrid only makrid from chav beis l'chaydish, some chav dalid l'chaydish, they're not really so machmir. And I think we made a cheshbon. I think 7 out of the 12 months they're either not makrid, or it's anyway they're 2 months that we don't get married. Tammuz because of the 3 weeks, and Iyar because of Sfira, we don't get married anyway. And then there are 5 months which are so called lucky months that chassidim do get married in the seif chaydish, which is what is it Elul and Tishrei. And Hanukkah is Kislev, and Adar. I'm missing one. Adar, what? No, Adar Avin Beis. So I'm missing Nisan. Chassidim don't get married. Except Nisan said Arizal. They don't get married in Svira. What did I say? Elul, Tishrei, Kislev. And Ados 4, all right, there's a fifth one, I think that they don't, if I'm not mistaken. But, okay, what? Okay, I don't know. At any rate, the society, let's get back to the Ramah. I wanted to finish this in. The Ramah writes that's what he's saying, I meant this when I wrote Nagu. It's very hard to argue with somebody when he said, telling you what he meant. You know, you can argue, did the Ramah mean it or not? But if you have a letter from the Ramah, Taisa says it about the Gemara, yeah. Look it up, that's what the Ramah says. The Makna says. He quotes the Chumas HaRamah, that's why I found the Chumas HaRamah. The Makna is Nagu. I don't know. The Makna is going on the Ramah. There was a Ramah Shemi, I don't know. Achrayim, you can't be so medayik in the Lashem. It's not Rishayim, it's Achrayim. Yesh Aymrim. Sheyesh. What? But the Ramah says, this is what I meant, you know. And the Ramah is Beduyik like a Rishon also. It's a Ramah. Yesh Aymrim Sheyesh Lizar Lechatchila Lishbar Mifarekas HaBehema. Now, it's a little misleading. It says, Yesh Lizar Lechatchila May Lishbar Mifarekas HaBehema. Now, as you would think from the Mechaber, if you're ready to salt the meat, you're not eating it raw, so what's a big deal? You could break the Mifarekas. Right, I only said, if you break the mefarekas, you can't eat it raw. So that means if I want, I could break the mefarekas, I won't eat it raw. So Dr. Ramah, no. If you saw the chatchila, you really should not do it, the chatchila, not to break the mefarekas of behemoi, litchoi sak and beliba, or to kill it any other way, kidei lekarev misasa, v'shum shemavli adam be'ivarim. Let it die by bleeding to death, no other way, because you want as much blood to get out of the body as could possibly be. So as I state here, that even if after Shechita the Behemoth stands up and starts walking around, you let it walk around and bleed to death. You don't take a gun and shoot it, because we want the animal to die from the blood coming out of its body, so there should be less blood in the body. The problem is, the problem is that in Simichav Gimel, It says that if you have a bird, you shech the bird and it doesn't want to die, so hit it on the head. You hit it on the head, so you'll get it to get it over with. And that seems to be a stira to hear. Both the shach and taz is the kasha. The shach is shorter. Look at shach tes. Kedel lekarav misasa. Avar of the leosim with chavkimul sefei ba'agar kosav. The mutala ha'koysal roishal lekarav misasa. He says that you can hit a bird on its head that should die. Efshir deina dabim negron kol kachach ha'roish. Maybe the head is different. Hitting it in the head, so that's different. That a person is allowed to do, but not... it's different than sticking it in its heart or any other way, and therefore it's muta. So according to this, the shach seems to be makel to do it. What? I mean, so maybe over there a knife is different, doesn't have so much blood. Into the what? Well, they hang it on the When I was in Empire four times, there may be a change. They used to take it. There were two guys, one before and one after. The one after took it and just hang it by its legs. Right, okay, I can't answer you. So, what? It means you saw Meilishbar. That's what it means. Definitely what it means. Now, what? Yeah, you could misread it. It could easily, it should say Meilishbar. But the Taz is a different teretz. The Taz is different than the shach. The shach says you're allowed to kill it by hitting it on its head. The Taz says that that is talking a few seconds later. You wait a few seconds. A few seconds later, if it's still walking around, so you hit it on the head. But right away, you're not allowed to, and that's... Yeah, it doesn't sound smart to throw a chicken. Nachinami. They don't have a problem. Okay, so that's if Gimel, the halacha to let the animal die by bleeding and no other way. Sif Dalit is the din of a black and blue mark. So that's part of the tumult over it. This idea of giving the animal electric shock before Shechita, which was a tumult already 50 years ago, whether that impedes the blood flow of the animal in a way that would cause a problem. Now, the truth is, we're not aware of too many ways that you can do something to an animal that salting doesn't work. You know, if you're going to tell me if you kill the animal, if you kill it, so salting doesn't work, well, then I have a concern. It doesn't say that. It says if you kill the animal, so then then you have to salt it. You can't eat it raw. So that's an issue. But to say that that stunning the animal causes that malicha, even malicha doesn't work, we don't really have a makar for it. Nevertheless, we're not bikiyim. We can't figure out exactly scientifically what does it mean that dam goes out this way, that dam goes out that way. And certainly, we're not ready to undertake to say that doing something to the animal is something that... Stunning the animal slows down the brain. But even if it slows down the brain, so again, it's shava mefrakta. Shava mefrakta is only a problem that you have to salt it. But you can't eat pasachai. So let's say you shove a mefrakta, but it's not going to ruin the meat, because then the meat you could still. You'll be over under Ramo, says the Chatzilla not to do it. But it's not going to make a treif, it's not going to cause a treif to the animal. So that's the issue. There is another new issue with what they call the cold wash of the animal, which maybe we'll talk about next time. The Goyim started a new thing. Right after Shechita, right after slaughter, they inject something into the arteries that pushes all the blood out of the arteries and replaces it with some type of liquid. And that's supposed to cause the meat to stay fresher longer somehow. And that's like today's tumult over this issue. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Blyach put out, I think a year ago, a fifth volume of his contemporary halacha. I think he has on it an arichas, if I'm not mistaken. And the Ari Yisrael Journal, when I was in Rishua Grossman's house, I saw he has also, I think, a few articles on it, and maybe next time. I wanted to try to learn some Mesama Zion today, so let's move on. Sif Dalit is the last major Sif. Hey and Vav are rather simple. Siftalit is Nageya. Yes. Yeah, I don't know what the tumah was. It seems from the, on the video of the they took there that after the sheikh walks away from the animal, a guy walks over and does some type of cutting. Exactly what he does, they say it's to help the bleeding. I think that that he did. The question is it a problem? I'm not aware of any other possible problem except for this one right here. The Rama says that lizal lechatchila. We don't do something to rush the death of the animal or to stab it in the heart. It's not a shiloh b'di'evid because we do salting anyway. And I assume that's what the tumah was about. But then the shachin tav kasha from hitting on the head wouldn't have been a kasha. And the Taz says, Lamaisi, you shouldn't do it. Even the shach says hitting it on the head is different than causing it, than stabbing it in the heart. So. Sivdal. All right. What happens if you have a black and blue mark on a piece of meat or chicken? Nitzar hadam machmas maka. The blood collected in one spot because of a injury. Also levashloi ad sheyichta hamakim v'yim lechenu yafer. You're not allowed to cook it unless it's not enough to salt it. Unless you both cut it open and you salt it well. But you're allowed to roast it, the black and blue mark, the dam will go out through roasting, and there it's mutter. And the Taz says, here belongs the Ramah, that if you have a black and blue mark, even if you're trying to roast it, you should also cut it open. V'yeshaimrim, the Rama says, the vav of V'yeshaimrim implies that it belongs there. You see, on top of the page it says Yeshaimrim, and here it says V'yeshaimrim. That's part of the Taz's Raya that belongs here. Anyway, V'yeshaimrim. Shemzeyesh lahachmi lekalef beis hashchita, ilachtech beis ebasa kaida malicha. In the shchita area where you do have a collection of blood, you should remove that area before salting. Ha'el v'nitzra sham hadam b'shashchita. Because there the blood does, you do get what we would call a black and blue mark over there. And memela, the minig is to cut away the makam hashchita, which is not an issue for us. So the mechaber only tells us half the story. He says you have a black and blue mark, make sure before you salt it that you cut away the black and blue mark. Today, in the 21st century, when no ladies salt chicken, if someone brings the black and blue mark to the Rav, a chicken with black and blue mark, it's already after salting. It's already been salted. Something's already been cooked. So the Rav takes out the Shulchan Aruch, Nitzar Adam, Beferish Halach is a black and blue mark. It doesn't tell us what to paskin. All it says here, a black and blue mark, Nitzar Adam Machmas Maka, Osla Vashlai, Achi Yachta Makam V'yachem Yafa. Doesn't say what's the din if you did it already. He seems to say you have to cut into it so that the blood will drain during the malicha. That's
so
what
that
seems to say.
Tell you what was done if they bring the black blue mark after the malicha.
It does not tell you. Yeah. Does not tell
maybe,
you.
Maybe there was a cut before the malicha.
Well, you could see if there was a cut. You look at it, it's a regular piece of chicken. You could see. Mm-hmm. We know what a piece of chicken looks like, and it's got a black and blue mark. It's very often on the underside of the chicken, on the inside. Usually you would think a black and blue mark would be on the outside, yeah, an injury. It's very... What? You've seen it on the thigh, the outside, okay. But at any rate,
nothing about an ice pack either to alleviate the black and blue mark.
Hakapella. The lamaisa of a black and blue mark, the Aruch HaShulchan brings half the answer. He quotes in the Beis Hillel, which is one of the Svarim Yeridaya, that if it's already cooked, you need shishim against the black and blue mark. But listen, you need shishim in that piece against the black and blue mark. Let's say you cook the whole chicken soup. You need shishim in that piece because that's an issa davuk, right? Because it's going to be vayleya into its own piece first. So the Aruch HaShulchan says you need shishim in that piece of chicken. If you don't have shishim in that piece of chicken, it's chaticha nas nevela. And then the chicken soup needs shishim against that whole quarter of chicken or half a chicken that's in there. So you need shishim against that. So it really could be a serious problem. What in Eitzah would be in such a case to give it to Sfaradim, because Sfaradim don't hold chaticha mas nevela b'shari surim, so they could just throw out the piece of chicken and eat the rest of the chicken soup. But Sfaradim eat chicken soup. Shaul, you guys eat chicken soup? Yeah, okay. So I guess that minute comes from Yafim Eretz Yisrael. But it's a very serious thing. If you already cooked it, it would aser the piece, which would aser the chicken soup, which would aser the pot. You have to kasher the pot. It's a very serious thing. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan does not say what to do if you caught it before you cooked it. If it was salted and not cooked, what do you do? So the way I remember from when we learned Barav Palm, I can't remember exactly in saying these words, but I remember the psak was to cut out the black and blue mark and a kadei klipa around the black and blue mark, because malicha kadei klipa by malicha is kadei klipa by a dover kochush. Normally we say we're not pekiyim what's kochush and shamein, but dam we have a kabbalah is dade kochush, and therefore we cut out the black and blue mark and a kadei klipa around the black and blue mark, and the rest of it is mutter. Most women who I've told it to have said, let's just throw away the chicken, you know, a piece of chicken. You cut out the black and blue mark. And I remember one woman, I said, at least cut off the polka. The drumstick is good. Like, why are you throwing out the whole piece? But what?
Every black and blue mark is no good?
Every black and blue mark that has collected blood is no good. Yeah. If it's a black and blue mark in the...
How come it came out of the plant?
You have to, again, you were an empire. You see, it's when the Mashkiach checks them, they're going down a line. And the truth is, the Mashkiach can only see the outside of the chicken. The inside, they have a mirror. There's what they have, as it goes along the line, the Mashkiach stands there, and he looks at it, and there's a mirror there. He's supposed to look at the chicken and at the mirror while it's moving, which is definitely possible to do. They have to realize, you're not mechuyev to have a Mashkiach to check. You know, you're allowed to assume that it's good. If someone finds it's no good, he'll have to throw it out. So we're machmir. It's one of Ramesh's chumras that you have to have a mashgiach to check it. Ramesh had a chumra because the USDA has someone checking on the line. So Ramesh said that the whole thing is because it's not efshel levar v'kal. Once it's set up already with the mirror and the avarim on the outside, so he was makpid that they should check, a mashgiach should check. And in America it's the minig, I don't know in Israel. And we check. But you can miss it. It moves pretty quickly. And it's also rare. It's not common that it has a black and blue mark. Sometimes it looks terrible, but then the USDA takes it off. So by the time it gets to the Mashgiach, it's not so easy. The Mashgiach does three things at the same time as it's moving. He checks the inside and the outside. He also runs his hands down the intestines to feel if there are any stones in the intestines. You'll see he's running his hand down the intestines. And he's also supposed to be checking the organs, the heart, the organs that are hanging, if anything looks abnormal.
How fierce is that running?
It's really doable. A person could do it. There's just an issue of fatigue when you're checking 50,000 chickens in 8 hours. There's a certain issue of fatigue. You know, if I put you there and you're all excited, you could do it. It doesn't move that fast that you can't do it. But it does. It gets a very... I think it's all difficult. Anyway, this is it's not an exciting job, but there's certain. I mean, in one plant, what they wanted to do was pay the mashkichim for everything they pay them a bonus for everyone they catch. For everyone they catch, give them a bonus, and that would be sort of an incentive that would make them check better. But I know a certain person who's in charge of Hashem told me about it, but I don't know if it ever really happened. As I said, this is the most negeya de kasif in the simin. Let's quickly learn sefei and vav, which are easy simanim. I don't know. I think that's what he wanted to do. Abasa shalai nimlach in the snow b'chaynitz. Salt that was not meat, that was raw meat. It was put into vinegar kedei latzmis damai b'saychai to dry the blood up inside of it. In this adem abasar zel simin shenekra damim akaymai v'chaynitz asa. If the blood is pirish, if the meat gets red, that's a sign it's pirish mamakim. Begam abasa also lechol chai, vein leheter elabitzli. Alright, this is called hachlata. Hachlata is not something anybody does today. What they used to do is soak the raw meat in vinegar before salting. The idea was to sort of freeze or stun the blood in its spot. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work. Sometimes the blood would stop moving and the meat would turn red. And then you couldn't use the meat except for tzli. because the blood started to move around. If the blood did not turn red, that's a sign you did it well. Hachlata is a way to eat raw meat. Ah, Zakhtar HaShulchan. Now I have a teretz for Yom Kippur for the Karban Chatas. We had a kasha on the Rambam, who holds Basachai, you're not allowed to eat without Malicha. How did they eat on Yom Kippur? Ah, they did Achlata. They soaked it in vinegar, and when they did Achlata, so Mamela, they were able to do it. I don't know why Achlata is Mumutter and Malicha. I'm not sure. But there's an answer. I just don't know the answer. But that's what he says. That's why it's mutter. Let's just sort of sit far because it's late. I understand. But he's saying that if you do achlata, you have to make a distinction. If it's nisadei mabosar, then it's aser. If it's lay nisadim, then it's taka mutter. So he's coming to warn us, nisadei mabosar, that it's not mutter. That's the ikar chiddush. I'm jumping on this part for the Rambam. But the mechaber is coming for the first half of the sif. That's his chiddush. The vinegar itself, the vinegar is weak, you can't use it a second time, but otherwise, vinegar you can use, even if vinegar doesn't appear to be too strong, we're not experts in doing this, and we don't do it, So, this whole sifhei involved, you should know it. It's in Shas, it's in Shulchan Aruch, but it doesn't come up that people do chalita today. Okay, before we break, I just, Rechmiel brought in a tongue. I was going to ask you to bring one of the tongues. That's not the Glatnar Kashid way, but this is a $40 tongue, and I just wanted to show you the way it's. If you touch raw meat, you should afterwards wash your hands. So before you touch food, but this is a tongue of an animal. Here's your ice pack, and I wanted to show you that the tip of the tongue is cut. As I said, now yes, Rechmiel yesterday, is the tip cut? He said no. I told him, the tip's not cut, don't bring it in, because I can't explain it. But the tip is cut, that Kropelsky said that's too...
It's always cut, has to be cut in order to be
kosher. In order to be trabered. And here we learned that there are two sets of this tongue is from Gottmar.
It's a dolphin.
Now here, I wish I would have had the other tongue. It looks like it's kosher a little differently than the other one. In that, where is he? In that, I think it's cut further up than the other. Oh, here you are, right? The other one that I saw was from Rubashkin. If I were brought in the other one, it wouldn't have had a cut. I don't think it had a cut all the way here. It had cuts that were sort of holes, and they tunneled out the Gidei Dam by pulling it out of the back, and this one. Tunneling it out. The way they do it, which apparently is the meaning in Baltimore, is that they cut it all the way up. So when you have the slices of tongue that you eat are cut this way, and many of the slices don't have that rounded edge because it has this, has these two cuts over here, which are made, I suppose, to get it out better. Now we learned that there are two on the side, and there's another gid of dam. I don't know exactly. I suppose this cut took out both of them. And the one you had, there was a third hole. Right? So the other one was cut was differently. This one has only these two cuts on the side. It doesn't have the third. I suppose that they get the third one out with this cut as well. And anyway, this is the way a tongue looks. It's Sar L'Shan Chameira. The tongue goes all the way down. And it's an animal tongue. I mean,
to a tongue
if we wouldn't be used to the fact that human beings eat tongue, we would say, what, eating tongue? It's strange.
I say, what, eating tongue?
Yeah. Okay. This is basically the way it is. And everyone was asking, what is the difference in the way the Glatmar does it is this. Now, I will tell you that when they trabered, I watched, it was in 1980 when I learned these halachas, or 81, I went to watch the trabering of the tongue, that this was removed differently. And it was removed, they cut off more at the tip, and they took a grip of the veins, and they gave it a tug, and they pulled it out of the top. And they may have done some cutting in the back also, but most of it came out through the tap. And I think you asked them, Did you ask, you said you asked somebody about it?
Somebody else.
Someone asked, and someone said that, yeah, they used to do it that way, but they don't do it that way anymore, which I have no objection to.
What?
The appearance of the tongue later for commercial reasons. So they do it this way. But anyway, this is the difference, the cutting all the way up, the way it's done according to this minig. And
so how do they pull it out? They pull it out from the back?
Here they pull it out. Here it's removed. It used to be here. Yeah. But they still have to pull it. It's got to come out all the way out.
Now why did they cut the tip? Why did they cut the tip of the sock?
Because the veins go like this. And if you're going to leave it like this and pull, you're going to pull from here. It's round. It's not going to go. It's going to pull the meat down by cutting it.
So it's two separate.
No, they still pull out from here, but it's not one consecutive piece, and they can cut it this way.
They make two pullings, one on each side, then.
Right. At least two pullings. Yeah. I suppose there's a third pulling, but. Look at Ben Shara. I talk to everyone. I want to ask everyone for mechila in case some days we started a minute or two, a few minutes late. You know, maybe next Sunday. I hope.